Lord, I ask that only your words would be spoken and only your words would be heard. Now feed us with what you would have us to hear, Lord. In the name of your Son, Jesus, our Savior and King. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of John. We're going to be spending a lot of time in John, the Gospel according to John. On a side note, I saw a meme a few months ago where a girl was asking a guy, if you think you're a Christian, then name me four books of the Bible. And he goes, John. And she says, I should have made that a little bit of a tougher question. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. We're catching in to the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, meets Jesus. Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come back. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one that you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. What is it that the Father is looking for? The Father is looking for children to worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, woman, believe me, verse 21, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. If you want to know what the Father is seeking in you, he is seeking you to worship him in spirit and truth. It's a command from Jesus, your King. Now, what is spirit and truth? So the definitions that are used in the Greek, spirit, the word is pneuma. It's the same word that is used to describe the spirit of Christ. It's the same word that's used to describe the Holy Spirit and your spirit. The essence of you, the true you, is to worship the Father completely. The true you, the essence of you, the deep you, the one only you know, is being asked to worship the Father. What is truth? Truth is the word aletheia, and that is the reality lying at the base. Truth in all of its essence and scope. Now turn with me to John chapter 7. Surprise, surprise, we're going to be reading a lot. Beginning in chapter 7 and verse 25. Now some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, is not this the man whom they are trying to kill? And here he is speaking openly, but they say nothing to him. Can it be that the authorities really know that this is the Messiah? Yet we know where this man is from, but when the Messiah comes, no one will know where he is from. Then Jesus cried out as he was teaching in the temple, you know me. And you know where I am from. I have not come on my own, but the one who sent me is true. And you do not know him. I know him because I am from him, and he sent me. Then they tried to arrest him, but no one laid hands on him. because his hour had not yet come. Yet many in the crowd believed in him and were saying, when the Messiah comes, will he do more signs than this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering such things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple police to arrest him. Jesus then said, I will be with you a little while longer, and then I'm going to him who sent me. You will search for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. The Jews said to one another, where does this man intend to go that we will not find him? Does he intend to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What does he mean by saying, you will search for me and you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come? On the last day of the festival, the great day, while Jesus was standing there, he cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. As the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, which believers in him were to receive, for as yet there was no Spirit, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I've heard a lot of teachings and I read a lot of teachings about what that particular scripture means. What does it mean, Spirit and truth? And there seems to be two general opinions. One of them is that what the scripture is talking about here is worshiping the Father from the heart, truly from the heart. And while I believe that that is true, it is entirely incomplete. Because on all of those that I read, those teachings, when it talks about, well, what this really means is from the heart, it denies the Holy Spirit. In all of those teachings, there was zero emphasis paid to the Holy Spirit in your life, in this aspect, in your worship. And it was all about, well, you just need to do it from the heart. Well, the problem with that is, has anybody ever come to worship and it wasn't there? You just did not feel like doing it? So does that mean that you have completely missed God if you're trying to worship and it's not from the heart? That, I believe, is a condemnation that has been put on us by the enemy. Because if it was normative in the New Testament, then it should be normative to us. If it was normative to the Acts of the Apostles, then it should be normative to us. So while I do believe that worshiping the Father in spirit is supposed to be a genuine from the heart worship, yes, that is an incomplete definition, because it's impossible to do that without the Holy Spirit. So, if we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth, then what we have to do is lean into the Holy Spirit. Now, turn with me, please, to John chapter 18. We're going to start with verse 33. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you ask me this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, so you're a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. You hear that? Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate asked him, what is truth? I'm going to stop right there for just a second. Pilate asked the question that everybody has been asking since the very, very beginning. What is truth? When the serpent in the garden said, did he really say that? When he was tempting Eve, did he really say that? Is that what he said for sure? Chipping away at the truth at the base immediately. After he had said this, He went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against him. But you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? They shouted in reply, not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a bandit. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming to him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and striking him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no case against him. So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Here is the man. When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted, Crucify him! Crucify him! Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has claimed to be the Son of God. Now when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Jews cried out, If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Hold on. These are the people of God. This is the nation of God. These are the ones that follow Yahweh. If you release this man, you are no friend of the emperor. Who? Everyone who claims to be a king sets himself against the emperor. When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, Here is your king. They cried out, Away with him, away with him. Crucify him. Pilate asked them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but the emperor. Then he handed him over to be crucified. We have a choice. We were given that choice by Jesus. The choice is that we proclaim him king or we proclaim the world the king of us. In that moment, when the decision was being made, in their anger, in their hate, in their jealousy, in their insecurity, in their sin, they declared for all time who their follower was and declared on themselves the judgment of God. Right then and there. When God seeks for children to worship him in spirit and in truth, the truth of it is that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the truth. What is the truth that we're supposed to listen to and ascribe to and worship? That Jesus is the Son of God and that he is your Savior and that he is King. And then everything else that he said is what we are to obey. We either serve him or we serve the emperor. One or the other. And on the one hand, he saves us. And on the other hand, we crucify him. There is no middle. There is no middle. Now, please turn to John chapter 14. Begin in verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. If Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, and you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but it is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us be on our way. In 1906, well, let me ask you first. Anybody ever heard of anything called the Azusa Street Revival? Anybody ever looked into it with any sort of depth? Okay. If you're on the worship team and you haven't, then you're in disobedience. Go do it. I've told you that already, like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So go do it. You're on the worship team. Go look it up. The Azusa Street Revival was a revival that occurred in 1906. I'm not going to get into any humongous detail with you on that. It happened in California. It was 1906. Race had nothing to do with anything. And that was one of the reasons why the church at the time got all suspicious about it, because they weren't dividing based on race. But the stuff that came, the power that was poured out at the Azusa Street Revival was a power that came from a genuine desire for those people to seek the will of God in their lives and show him true worship. Desperately seeking the will of God in their lives and to give him true worship. And what happened from that was an incredible, incredible pouring out of the Holy Spirit on those people that lasted on. And we, as the Charismatic Episcopal Church, are part of the progeny of what happened in 1906 in Azusa Street. We've claimed it as the Charismatic Episcopal Church, that that's part of where our roots are from. So if you don't know about it, you need to learn about it so you know where your roots are if you're a member of the CEC. Azusa Street. I talked to one of the bishops a couple of months ago, and what he said was that the church has been operating as for at least the last 1,000 years and probably more, with a few exceptions where it's obvious that the Spirit has been moving throughout time, that for about 1,000 years the church has been trying to do church under its own power and without the guidance of the Spirit. Because the church, once the church decided that they were going to fight over who was in charge, they decided at that moment that it wasn't the Spirit. And then the split, 1054, and the split. It will always begin with you, the individual believer. It always begins with you, the individual believer. If you are looking for the church to fix your life, you're looking to the wrong thing. The church is there to equip you. We are there to help you. We're there to support you. We're there to love you. We're there to defend you. We're there to cover you. We're not there to condemn you or judge you. But we can't live your life for you. That life is yours. You only got one. And it don't last very long. If you truly want to seek what the Father seeks for you, seek to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That doesn't just mean during two songs in praise and adoration. What we're talking about is first commandment belief. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Commandment number one. All of the other commandments, murder, adultery, covet, etc., 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 are impossible without the first one. If the whole world followed the Ten Commandments, we would live in a world of peace. But the world denies commandment number one. The rest is impossible. If the church denies commandment number one, the rest is impossible. If you deny commandment number one, the rest is impossible. If I deny that, the rest is impossible. God is calling His church, and He has been since Jesus sat beside the well. God is calling His church. God is calling for a people to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what your Father wants of you. Now, we can't talk about worship at all. Last thing I'm going to read. Can't talk about worship at all without reading something from David. Psalm 27. Fear not, it is not that long. Psalm 27, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For He will hide me in His shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of His tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up. Above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and deliver me. Come, my heart says, seek His face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide Your face from me. Do not turn Your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me Your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's here on earth. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Many of the translations, in the two places where it says wait for the Lord, it's have patience. Have patience. Wait for the Lord. Both of them are to yourself and to others. Like David, it's like he's writing to himself and he's writing to everyone. I'm going to read that again. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. I'm begging you. Not for the good of this church, not for the good of the church, although that would come. I'm begging you for the good of yourselves and for the good of your families and the good of your children and your spouses. I'm begging you. Seek to be worshipers in spirit and truth. And it doesn't just mean two songs on Sunday. It means living a life that is worshipful of God. Thankful and worshipful of God. Amen. Please stand.